for the beautiful day He's given us.
And
God truly is good to us. We thank the Lord for all of His blessings to us. And yeah, I was kind of getting excited. And Brother Doug said we might have tomorrow night off. But that's a little something to laugh about. But I thank the Lord that we have a great privilege to work for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to do our very best for Him. I thought about Sister Ann when she was saying it might be her last time to sing. Well, don't think like that. Because as long as you have breath, you can praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
I remember that some of you know Sister Sharon Lee in our congregation. She's blind. And some years ago, she was in the hospital and they told her that her lungs was in bad shape. They told her she wasn't going to live to come out of the hospital. And Brother Junior was standing there with her dad and Brother Ed Rutledge. And Brother Junior told the doctor, said, you can't make that choice. And they prayed for her, and by the end of the week, she was home. And she's been singing ever since. You know, the doctors don't know how she sings because her lungs, she's got some type of disease, but she can sing. And the Lord has just blessed her. And, you know, so her desire was to serve the Lord and to do her best for the Lord. And as I believe, as long as we have that desire, God will honor it.
Amen.
And give us a way to do that. Amen. Last night our message was on the thought of restoring the intimate relationship. And you know, it's a beautiful thing to have an intimate relationship with God and to be able to have it always in existence or nourished. Have it always nourished. Tonight I want to talk to us a little bit about growing in perfection. All right, now some people, you know, say, well, that's a basic message. But I want us to look at, I'm going to read a verse here in Matthew chapter 5, and just going to read one verse, Matthew 5 and 48. And then I'm going to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. I got a habit from Brother Junior of taking my coat off whenever I preach. I remember him saying that his dad used to say, the Bible says to lay aside every weight. And so he always done it, and I've taken the habit of doing that. And I'll try not to move around so much. Lynn told me I made her dizzy, but she said that's because after she had her accident. And I told her, I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't hardly stand still. But the verse I want to read here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's why our title tonight is Growing in Perfection. Now, most people say, well, it's impossible to live perfect. And you hear all kind of stuff in the religious realm of this world. You know that? You hear from, it's impossible to be perfect. You can't be perfect. And then if you say, if you tell someone that you live without sin, and they, oh, there's Mr. Perfect.
Yep.
Well, people just don't understand. You know that? And so that's why the title is Growing in Perfection. All right, so we're going to look at 2 Peter. Let's look at 2 Peter. The first chapter here, and chapter 1, and I'm gonna start with verse 3. And sometimes, you know, you can really take time to read some of these verses and just look at it. But I'm going to read these down to verse 10, I believe it is. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, We understand through this verse here, he's talking about after you've saved and then going on to sanctification.
True.
Okay, that's what he's talking about there in that verse. Being partakers of the divine nature. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's how you know is what he's talking about. He's talking about something higher than just your basic salvation.
Amen.
All right, so having... being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge. Now look what he said there, add to.
Amen.
He didn't say that you should already have it. He's telling you to add to. Okay, and look at what he's adding. He's adding different things here. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh in these things is blind and cannot see afar off,
Amen.
And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Amen.
Amen. So we see here that growing in perfection is a necessity.
Amen.
I mean, it's not something. I remember hearing people ask the question, "Are you a fruit-bearing Christian?" And I used to think, "Does that mean am I winning souls for Christ, or am I out working in the kingdom? What did that mean?" I really didn't understand that. Was I a fruit-bearing Christian? Or they say, "Are you growing? Are you growing?" And I wouldn't understand what they're talking about. And I feel like I'm not the only one. Because you feel like whenever you when you enter into sanctification, after you've established that relationship with Christ, and you see that you need to go deeper. Of course, we know Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice only edifies one time. But a living sacrifice is continually is continually growing,
Amen.
Is continually pleasing God. And so whenever we look at this, a fruit-bearing Christian is one that is continuing to grow in their salvation.
Amen.
It's continuing to grow in sanctification. I thought it was neat that we touched on that in our subject today when we talked a little bit. But a lot of times people feel like that... that once you get sanctified, you're not going to have struggles anymore.
Hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're going to have struggles.
Yeah.
Whenever I got saved, I was about 19 years old. And shortly after that, I knew what sanctification was and I knew I needed it. Did I understand it? No, I did not. But I knew I needed it. And so I wanted to be sanctified. I wanted to give my whole life to Christ. But I'm going to tell you what. 10 years down the road, I couldn't see 10 years down the road.
That's right.
You can't see 10 years down the road.
Right.
You can't see 5 years down the road. You can't even see tomorrow. And I tell you what, when you give you give everything to God in sanctification, and tomorrow you're going to face something that you didn't give Him because you didn't know about it. And that's just the way it is. You know what happens then? You have a choice. You're either going to try to handle it yourself, or you're going to grow.
Amen.
Right? That's the only two choices you have. And if we're going to grow in perfection, and if we're going to be fruit-bearing Christians in what we do, is after whenever... Sometimes, we face a situation and we deal with it for a while and we juggle it around and we try to... We wonder, why are we face this? And why am I having this difficulty? And then you realize, I need to give it to God.
Yep.
And it's because it ain't that we want to hold on to it. It ain't that we want to juggle it. It ain't that we want to struggle with it. But it's we don't realize right off the bat that we need to give it to God.
Amen.
And so whenever we give it to God, we realize that we just grew a little bit.
Amen.
Right? Maybe it was impatience. And these things that he says down through here, that's not necessary. You're not going to grow in that order. Let's just say it that way. This is given in order, in a line. Patience, temperance, meekness, you know, faith, virtue, all those things. But, you know, you might grow in faith faster than you grow in anything else.
True.
You might grow in patience faster than you grow in anything else. And you can't understand why your faith don't follow. Or you might grow in faith and wonder why you don't have patience to wait. But it's all part of the growing process. And the thing is that we don't stop growing.
Amen.
You know that's the key thing, is that we grow in perfection.
Amen.
Amen. That means is that we live perfect in our heart before God every day.
Amen.
Right?
It's true.
That's what it is. That's what it means. He says, God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, in our eyes, there were some things Abraham done that was far from perfect.
Sure.
All right?
Sure.
That's right. There was things that Abraham done that was far from perfect.
Amen.
The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, and David did some things that we can't do and get away with.
True. Amen.
But why was that? It was because they were perfect in their time before God.
Amen.
And that is what we have to be, is perfect before God in our heart. Amen. And that means that whenever God shows us something, that we're willing to fix it.
Amen.
Amen. Growing in perfection. And whatever it is, if maybe sometimes God will show us that we need some patience. You know, Jody tells people, I'm very patient. Well, I thank God for giving me patience. I'll go into the store and the cashier, she's had a rough day. And she's just expecting me to be rushing her through, and I'll just stand there and I'll say it's okay, take your time, it's okay, but it took me a lot of practice to get to that point.
Sure.
It took me a lot of practice, and you know what I've done is I try to put myself in that person's shoes.
Absolutely.
I try to put myself in that person's shoes and feel what they've experienced that day. And you know, I've made a effort to do that. And so, you know, people expect you to rush them. People expect you to push them. People expect you to get loud or upset when they're not moving fast enough. And whenever you know, I just say, that's okay, I'm all right. You know, and they don't know what to think about that. But you know, it gives them time to ask them, how was your day? You know, it's a beautiful day. Lord bless us with a beautiful day. Just something nice. People's not used to that either.
It's true.
But you know what? Whenever the Lord helps us to grow, you know what we should do? We should help others to grow.
Yeah.
Yes, and you know what I mean? Because everything that happens, you know what happens? It trickles downhill. Now, the lady at the register, she has a bad day. Everybody else is rushing her. If I rush her, you know what's going to happen? She might snap at me. She might snap at the next customer. But if I break that trend, you know what happens? It puts a little sunshine in her life. Amen. All because I took time to be patient. It's all about growing in perfection. To be like Christ. That's what my prayer every day is, Lord, help me to be like Christ. I want to be like you.
Amen.
I want people, when they see me, I want them to see you. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see what Christ would be. I want to act like Christ would act. I don't want to fly off the handle. I don't want to get loud and obnoxious. I don't want to have my way. I don't want to have to prove my point. You know, I don't find it necessary to do that. I find it necessary to be kind. Amen. But that's part of growing in perfection. And there's a reason that we need to grow in perfection. It's because in Ephesians, he says that we were darkness.
That's right.
Right? One time we were darkness, and that means that we acted like the darkness.
Right.
Amen. Ephesians, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Reading at verse 8. And it says, For ye were sometimes darkness, and that word sometimes means once. Ye were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. That says a lot. Amen. If we're children of light, why would we want to act like children of darkness? And I tell you what, I've been around some people that profess to be Christians, that I know profess to be Christians, and I would be ashamed to tell somebody after they got finished talking that they profess to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you, I've been around people like that. I know people. I know a man like that that's a pastor of a church, a sectarian church. And I tell you what, I told him one time, I said, how can you act like that and profess to be a child of God?
Amen.
He had an excuse. But if we act like children of darkness, then what is different from me in the world? Right? If I act like they are, then am I growing in perfection? Am I a fruit-bearing Christian? No, if I can't be more and more like God, if I can't produce godliness, if I can't show godliness in my life, if I can't be more and more like God through the image of Christ, then I'm showing the world darkness. And I don't want to make the world appealing. I want to make salvation appealing. I want to make the way of holiness appealing. So therefore, I want to be children of the light. I want to be a child of God. Amen. I want people to see me and desire what I have. Amen. When people meet you, do they desire what you have? And you ever ask yourself that question after you finish a conversation with someone? Do they want to be like me, or do I want to be like them? You ever met someone like that? You meet somebody and you talk with them for a minute, and you think, man, they got a good head on their shoulder. You know, but how many times have you walked away from a conversation and say, did I influence them or did they influence me? Amen. As children of light, we need to be able to influence people for God. Amen. We want to grow in perfection. We want to be like Christ. We want to show Christ in our life. Amen. Amen. Because we don't want people to see the world in us. We want to see Christ. Amen. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. And he says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And if we can't show Christ in our life, we're not growing in perfection, then we can't even reprove. We can't reprove darkness. We can't reprove sin. No, we can't even put a point of finger against it because we're not doing what we need to be doing. And that is growing in perfection. Growing to be like Christ. Yes, in everything we do, we should strive to be like Christ. Amen. Amen. And the way we do that is by studying the Word of God. By living the life. Amen. By whenever the message is preached, is endeavoring to measure to the Word. I mean, sometimes the word goes forth and we might not understand it completely. But you know what we do is we endeavor. Right? We don't just say, I'm not doing that. You can't just refuse the word of God.
True.
Amen. If we're gonna grow in perfection, we gotta take the word in and we gotta meditate on it, think about it. We had a man that started coming to church some years ago. And he was in a religion that believed once saved, always saved. They believed that you couldn't live without sin. And he started coming, and we was in a Sunday school quarterly that is entitled, Must We Sin? And so he started coming when we started that quarterly. And Brother Junior was preaching some messages that was along with that. And there was a lot of days that he would leave the church service. And he just tell me, he said, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe that. You know what I told him? I said, why don't you go home and pray about it? Why don't you go home and meditate on the scripture? Now, he's blind. So at that time, his vision was, he could see with a magnifying glass and if it was wrote in marker. But what he would do is he would call me. And he would say, Tim, I want you to find this scripture. It's something like this. And I would find it. And he said, I just want you to read it and don't say anything. So I would read the scripture for him. And then he would just hang the phone up on me. And I thought, man, that's odd. Why don't he hang up on me? But he told me later, he said, the reason I do that is because I want the Lord to talk to my heart. I don't want you to influence me. And so I appreciated that. And a lot of times, you know, saints, we hear things and we read things in the Word of God and we look at it and we say, oh, I don't know. You read it 100 times and all of a sudden it has a new meaning to you. And all of a sudden the Lord opens up the understanding to you. And you look at it and you say, I don't know. I don't know about that. And you know what, though? That means that the Holy Spirit is teaching us.
Amen.
And whenever He does that, that means that we're growing. Amen. We're growing. And sometimes growing pains ain't fun. I remember my son Marty, he had growing pains. And he would cry a lot at night because his knees were hurt. And growing pains ain't fun. Even as a Christian, I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's not fun. Because that means that we got to stretch a little bit. We got to grow. We got to get out of our comfort zone. When the Lord starts opening scriptures to us, or maybe we hear a message that's, he hits us pretty hard. Brother Doug come down pretty hard on me Sunday. When really, Brother Doug didn't come down on you at all. It's just a message the Lord gave me. I mean, I've greeted people after church and they say, man, Brother Tim, you hit me right where I was at. I said, well, I didn't know that.
It's true.
I didn't know that. We don't know, but God knows what we need. He knows what we need when we need it. Amen. And He does that so that we can grow. And every one of us grow at our own pace. You know that? It's amazing to me. I have 4 children and none of them started walking at the same time. You know what? None of them even started talking at the same time. But I never thought they weren't my children. And that's the way it is with children of God. You know that? We all grow at different stages.
It's true, amen.
We, every one of us, in our spiritual walk, we all grow at different things. You should never look at the other brother and say, man, that brother, he has all the faith in the world. Why don't I have faith? You should never compare yourself with somebody else.
Amen.
You know, that's one of the biggest mistakes we make as Christians, is trying to compare myself with someone else. Whenever I should always measure myself with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And that, if we get in the habit of doing that, of measuring ourselves with the Word of God, we'll never get in trouble.
It's true.
Because whenever we start measuring, if I start measuring myself against Brother Doug, then you know who's going to be there? The devil is.
That's right.
Right.
Oh yeah, you got this problem and you got that problem. Brother Doug don't have that. I don't know what Brother Doug has.
It's true.
You know that? We don't know what each of us have. Each of us have struggles. Each of us has trials. Each of us has things that we're going to grow in. And that's why it's called growing. It's because we all going to grow at different times, at different times in our life, in our experience. Some people might be saved for 50 years and are still growing. You always will be growing.
Amen.
Amen. You're never going to be what you would call 100% perfect. Never. Never. You can hang that up. You can hang it up. And I counsel with people sometimes and they say, I feel like I'm just always trying. I'm trying to do better. I'm always trying. And you know what I tell them? Don't ever stop trying.
Amen.
Amen. That's the key to being a successful Christian, is never stop trying. Amen. Never stop trying. You think these light bulbs come by one time? I forget how many times he tried making a light bulb before he finally was successful. I think it was over 200 times. Amen. But you know what? We don't get it the first time. We're ready to quit. We're ready to give up. I guess I'm never going to have patience. You know that? I think we all get that way sometimes. I'm never going to have enough faith.
No.
I'm never going to see this. My prayers never get answered. You know that? I feel like I pray and it hits the ceiling. My prayer don't even get outside the building. We all feel that way. But it's part of growing. It's part of growing in perfection. Amen. And that is what our goal is to be like Christ. Amen. In 2 Timothy, he says that all Scripture is given, amen, by inspiration of the Spirit. And it's all given for us to grow by.
Right.
And why is that? So that we can be thoroughly furnished. Let me look at that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Wow. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now you see that it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. All of them in the same scripture? You know it's possible that we can read a scripture or a scripture can be preached tonight. And for one, it can be reproof. And for another, it can be instruction.
True. Amen.
You know, that it's amazing to me.
Amen.
And how the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing.
Amen.
You know, the same scripture that can send encouragement to you can send conviction to a soul.
Amen.
The same scripture.
Right.
And I can't fathom that. But you know why it's like that? It's because we're all growing at different times. And we're all at different stages in our Christian experience. No, we don't get to a stage and we step up to the next stage and we step up and then we're all on the same plateau. It don't work like that. Amen. If it's a ladder, we all are climbing at different speeds. And we all are attaining different levels.
Amen.
But that don't mean that one is better than the other. You know that? That is not what it means. It means that we all just grow different.
Right.
We all grow different. And we don't expect someone to get saved today and know everything.
No.
Although sometimes that's the way it was preached in the past, is that you get saved and you better know it all.
Right.
Or you can't take part. That's not the way it is. And I believe that was a false, that give people a false a sense of security, of salvation. And so that whenever they made a mistake or they found themselves in a growing spurt or in a growing pain, they didn't know how to handle it.
True.
And a lot of times people backslid.
True.
They just didn't know. They didn't know what to do.
Right.
They didn't know how to handle this. That God starts speaking to their heart and convicting him. Well, not really convicting, but started teaching them and showing them some things they need to do better or need to step up on. And they just didn't know how to handle it. They felt like because they had to improve, that they had backslid. And a lot of times people just got discouraged and give up. But whenever we look at it for what it is salvation is one thing and growing in perfection is something entirely different. No, we don't grow in salvation. You know that? We don't grow in salvation. Salvation is what we attain whenever we ask God for forgiveness.
Amen.
Right? When we ask Him for forgiveness and we agree that we're going to forsake sin and we're going to follow Christ, that is salvation. You don't grow in salvation.
No.
You either have salvation or you don't have it.
That's true.
Right? You don't take baby steps into it and say, well, one day I will attain it. And that's, some people teach that.
Yeah.
Some people teach it. You never have salvation until you reach heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. But Jesus is the captain of our salvation.
Right.
Amen. He came to make us perfect in Him. Amen. So once we have salvation, then the growing begins. Then the growing begins. Amen. And sometimes we get up and we feel like, man, I'm just not doing so good. That's because we're growing. We're going through a growth spurt. And we feel like every message is for me. He was, man, brother Doug just hit me on the last two Sundays. Man, he just laid the book right on me. But you know what it was? You was growing. And we all go through that. Every one of them. Brother Doug goes through that. Every one of us go through that. And as long as we're saved and doing our best to live for God, we are going to grow. Now, if you don't grow, then there's something. If you're not having a little discomfort every once in a while, maybe we need to look at the experience and see if we really have a genuine experience of salvation. Because whenever we get saved, there is a desire that comes with salvation that makes us want to be like Christ. Amen. We don't ask for it, but it happens. I remember a young man that was working for me. He got saved in a denomination, and he was coming to work, and he was working for me. He had a bad habit of smoking and chewing tobacco, and he got saved, and I was trying to encourage him, and he told me he quit smoking. But he was still chewing tobacco. And I said, man, I'm glad you quit smoking. And so he said, yeah, but I don't believe you have to give it all up at once. I didn't say nothing to him. I just was praying for him. So about, I don't know, a few weeks later, he come to my house on a Thursday morning. He had went to church Wednesday night. And after church, he come to my house Thursday morning for work. And he just had a look on his face, and he was perplexed. He did not understand what happened. Something had happened to him. And he did not understand it. He couldn't figure it out. He didn't know what in the world it was. And I said to him, I said, are you okay? He said, man, I had a strange experience last night after church. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, man, it was just strange. He said, I was going home after church. And he said, and I took my tobacco out, and I went to put it in my mouth, and he said, and something told me, you can't do that. And I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I rolled down my window, and I just threw it out the window. And I said, that's good. And I said, well, who told you that? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. It's just like someone told me I couldn't do that no more. And I said, you know what happened? I said, God told you that.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. And he just got a smile on his face. He said, well, praise the Lord. But he didn't even understand that he was growing. And that's the way it happens sometimes. Things happen to us. And we don't even understand. We're perplexed by it. But we obey the Lord. And we know we did the right thing, but we didn't understand. And whenever I told him that it was the Holy Spirit that talked to him, man, his face just lit up. That the Holy Spirit would talk to him. But that's the way it is. Whenever we're growing and God is working with us, there's things that happen that we don't understand. There's things that we used to do, we can't do it no more. We don't find pleasure in it. And then we start to stop doing different things. And we don't understand why we even stopped it. It's because we're growing. Yeah. And that happens in everything in life. There's different things that we do in life that whenever we was in sin, maybe we got accustomed to doing. Or maybe we picked up from the habits of the world. I'm going to tell you, even being Christians, we can pick up things from the world that we have no business doing. And you know that we can pick those habits up and we don't even realize that they're hurting us. We don't even realize that they're hurting our experience until we start to grow. We start to get a little uncomfortable sometimes, and the Lord starts to show us. And whenever he shows us, you know, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
But whenever we grow, you know what? It helps us. It helps us a lot. And he does it for our good.
Amen.
So that we can be like him. We're talking about growing in perfection. No, we're not born perfect. Whenever we get saved, we're not perfect. And we're always going to be growing in perfection. But our main thought is to always want to grow to be like Christ. Amen. I had wrote down here in Luke chapter 16, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. And I was going to bring out that point there that once we start growing, we have a choice to make.
It's true.
He had a choice to make. Whenever the Spirit spoke to him, even though he didn't know what in the world was going on, he was not raised around church. It completely blowed his mind when a voice spoke to him. It blowed his mind. He had no idea. But you know what? He had a choice.
Right.
And when that voice speaks to our heart, every one of us, we have a choice.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever we start growing, we have a choice. God would never make us grow outside of our will.
True.
Our will must be involved. Amen. We've heard people say, you know, whenever they say, well, I'll quit smoking when the Lord takes that pack of cigarettes out of my pocket. He's never going to take that pack of cigarettes out of your pocket.
True.
And that's a statement people make because they don't want to quit smoking.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. That's the way it is with a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
And that's because they don't ever intend to quit smoking.
No.
Amen. Because God is not going to come down and make you do anything. He did not make him throw that tobacco out the window. And anything that God shows us whenever we're growing, he's not going to come down and say, okay, this is it. You're going to stop or else. He never does that.
No.
You know what he does? He gives us an opportunity. And sometimes we're stubborn. We're human. Amen. We're human. I'm human. And I'm stubborn sometimes. Sometimes I got to hit my finger more than once to realize that's not the right nail. But you know what I mean? That's just the way we are. But we're human. But he don't give up on us, does he? No, sometimes he talks to us two or three times. Sometimes he sends things to us two or three times just to help us to see that we need to grow. And then sometimes it's just like a light bulb goes off.
Yep.
And we get it. I get it. I understand. And we never have any trouble with that issue ever again. But you know what? It's all part of growing. But too many times as Christians, we feel like when we go through these things, we shouldn't be having to go through this. And that's because it's what we've heard. You know what I mean? We always heard that walk before me and be thou perfect, but we don't talk about that we get a chance to grow. You know what I mean? We just you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be perfect and you're going to live without sin. And no one explains to us that it's a growing process. Yeah, that's the part we don't understand. And so a lot of times that part gets left out. And so as we're growing, we feel like we've done something wrong. But I tell you, whenever we understand that growing is a process, then all of a sudden our Christian life and our walk with God start making a lot more sense.
Amen.
You know that? They start making sense of things that we've experienced, things that we've learned. We can look back the path and see where we've grown.
Right?
And that's because things make sense now. I'm a growing Christian. It's just like a flower that grows. Today it might have a bud today. Tomorrow it might have a few petals on it. The next day it might have a full rose on it. Well, it didn't happen overnight.
It's true.
No, and we're not going to grow overnight. You're not going to be perfect overnight.
Amen.
It's a process. Amen. And one thing we got to do is that we got to be able to understand when God is speaking to our heart. We got to be willing to listen.
Amen.
Willing to obey. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at Colossians here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28. Amen. Paul told him here, he said, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And I tell you what, whenever we start growing in perfection and the world sees Christ in us, it is a mystery. It is a mystery because our old nature, you know what I mean? Our old nature is changing to be like Christ. Where once we may have been short-tempered and ill-mannered and rough and rowdy, and our whole demeanor starts to change to be like Christ. And people take note of it. Whenever you can, I work in different people's houses all the time. I'm around different people. And I believe it was Brother Doug I was talking to, or someone I was talking to just recently, that whenever you meet someone that's a genuine Christian, you can tell they're a Christian. You might not go to the same church. They might not understand all the truth that you know, but you can tell that Christ is the head of their life. Amen. Because there's something different about them. That light, even though it might be nowhere near as much as you know, that light is shining. Right? And they're endeavoring. They are endeavoring to do all they know and understand. They are endeavoring to be like Christ. And our light bears witness to their light. Amen. And that's why whenever we are like Christ, it shows people that there is hope in this world. Amen. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes, it is a great hope. And that hope is what we share with the world, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. So whenever our life, the life of Christ is living through us, then that presents us perfect to the world. Now, like I said, a lot of people don't understand being perfect or even growing in perfection. And a lot of times I've tried, whenever people say, oh, you believe in living without, you can live without sin. Oh, you're perfect. And I say, I believe in that we can live without sin. And people say, oh, I'm not perfect. And I say, well, I'm not perfect either, but I'm striving to be perfect. I'm striving to be what Christ would have me to be. Amen. When Christ sees my life, I need to stand before Him with a perfect heart. Amen. And that's what I mean whenever I say I'm perfect before God. Amen. You might look at my life and say, well, you're not perfect. Some other people might look at my life and say, well, you're not perfect. He's not perfect. No, in your eyes, I'm not perfect. Amen. Maybe you know some things I don't know. Maybe I know some things you don't know. Right. But that's why I say it's important we don't judge our life by somebody else. But I tell you what, whenever God looks at me and He sees my heart must be perfect toward Him. Amen. Amen. And the only way for that to happen is for me to continually grow in perfection.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's look at our last one here. Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. Just a few verses here, a couple verses here. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So what he's saying here, just sometimes people read the scripture and they don't even understand what he's saying. What he's saying there is that there's no need for us to continually repent. There's no need for us to go back over the foundation again. No, we got that part right. We've already repented. We've died to the dead works, right? And we've had faith toward God. So we understand those things. But we got to do here, he says, let us go on to perfection. Amen. That means that we're continually growing. Amen. Don't be happy where you're at. Amen. That's one thing we're talking about here tonight. Don't be happy with your salvation where you're at. Don't be content. Don't be content in a way that we stagnate. I think about what Paul says there. He says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark.
Amen.
For the high calling.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. When you think about what he's saying there, some people read that and don't even understand what he's talking about. He says, not that as though I already have attained or was already perfect, but I press. What is he talking about? He's talking about growing in perfection. Amen. He's talking about whenever he grows, whenever God chastises him, hey, let's leave that behind. Amen. I've grown there. Let's continue to press toward the mark. Amen. As he shows me something new, I want to grow. As he shows me something, he say, Lord, that's for me. And you keep growing. That's for me. That's for me. Amen. And that's the way if we're going to be a successful Christian, that is what we have to do. We have to continue to grow in grace, grow in perfection, growing to be like Christ, forgetting the things that are behind, the hard lessons we learned. Hey, let's forget that. Let's not hold on to it. And let's keep growing. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep growing to be like Christ. And the reason for that is so that we can help others to grow.
Amen.
Amen. So that our life can be a light for others to see. Amen. When people see your life, they should get encouragement from your life.
Sure.
They should see something that attracts them.
Amen.
They should see something that makes them want to be a Christian. Amen. People are watching our lives. You might never preach. Amen. You might never teach a Sunday school class. You might never preach a message. Stand up behind a pulpit and preach. But I tell you what, the greatest thing you can do. I was thinking about that and got sidetracked because I remember a man told me one time, he kept telling me, I want to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. And this same man had an experience that was up and down, up and down, up and down. And I reflected on what he said, and he said, he kept telling me that every time I talked to him. He said, I just want to do great things for God. And as I meditated on that and thought about it, I thought, you know what the greatest thing you can do for God is to be faithful. That is the absolute greatest thing you can ever do for God, for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The absolute greatest witness is to be a faithful witness.
Amen.
Not one that's up and down, that's in and out, struggling this day and struggling that day, and got the victory today, and then tomorrow you're back out in the world. I've seen people like that. They struggle, they struggle, they struggle. And you know what happens? People are watching you. People are watching me. The people that are watching, they will watch our lives, and they will either make a determination that there is great hope for me or there is no hope for me.
Absolutely.
Now, it might seem kind of rough, but that's what happens.
True.
People watch your life. And if they see someone that is constant, I'm not saying you do everything perfect, but you're constant. Amen. You do your very best to please God. I'm not saying you're perfect in everything, but you do your best. You strive. You make mistakes, but you know what you do? You get up and you brush yourself off, and you determine to keep going forward. They watch you, and they see hope. You know that? They see hope. As opposed to someone that they see someone, they fall down, and they just stop. You know what? People see that in the world every day. But whenever they see someone that is striving to be like Christ, it gives them something to hope for.
Yes.
Amen. So I encourage you, saints, tonight, strive to be like Christ. Grow in perfection. Don't ever stop growing. Amen. Right. Don't ever stop trying. Amen. Sometimes we feel like we get up, make a couple steps forward, and then we get knocked back down. You know what? Just get up and make a few more steps forward. And if you get knocked down, get up again and make a few steps forward. Amen. Sometimes we just keep doing that. And then eventually you'll get to a point you realize you passed that point. You know, you won't even realize you passed it, but you do. You grow, and you grow. And then what you'll do is you'll find yourself encouraging others, sometimes in the very same thing you struggle with. I'll never forget whenever Jody and I went through that real trial with William. And it was really tough for us. We had really, really struggled. And I'll never forget. I was just crying. I would cry and cry. I didn't understand. I didn't understand why we had to go through that, why William had to go through that. And one night at church, I just was struggling. And it was a period of growth. But one night after service, Brother Ed Rutledge, most of y'all know Brother Ed Rutledge, or some of you do. And he was a very soft-spoken man. He was a pretty big man. And he just come to me one night after service, and he put his arm around me. And he said, Brother Tim, he said, the Lord must really love you to let you go through this. And, you know, I didn't say anything to him, but I thought about that. And I thought about that. And I thought about that in growing. There's a lot of times we go through things we don't even understand.
That's true.
There's things we go through we don't want to go through.
That's true.
We wouldn't wish it on our enemy. But you know what? God has confidence in us that we're going to grow in the process. I think about Job. Amen. Job was growing.
Yeah, that's true.
Job went through a period of growing. You know that? Job, I'm going to tell you, if you ever read the book of Job, it appears to me that Job was a minister.
Yes, indeed.
Or a preacher of some type. And as Job, in one part there, he recounts and talks about all the things that he did. It's exact things that Christ told him. He said, when did you visit the fatherless and those in prison or feed the hungry? You read Job. Job did those things. And yet Job didn't understand. He didn't understand what he was going through. But you know what Job said? He said, the Lord knows the path that I take. And when I'm tried, I will come forth as gold. Amen. And we know that gold is pure gold goes through a real refinement.
Yep.
Amen. It goes through a period of, let's just call it, growing. You know that? It burns out the imperfection. I remember reading a thing one time where a guy, they asked a guy that purified gold and silver, and they asked him, said, how do you know when it's 100% pure? He said, when I can see a perfect reflection of myself. Amen. And just think about that as we're growing. Christ wants to see a perfect reflection of himself in us. God bless you.
Amen. Like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 144. 144. If you need, I invite you to come to an altar. Come every soul, by sins oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you. Thinking as he was bringing a message to us tonight, the thought came to me as a child. You know, a child never starts to grow until it's born. When it's in the womb, you don't teach it anything. I know some people sing and read books, but you don't start actively teaching them anything until that child's born.
That's right.
Then you start working with them, and you hold their hands, and you get them the strength to stand up, and you know, you eventually want to see them roll over, and then crawl, and then progress. And a lot of times people say, I try to do better. I want to be a saint. I want to be a child of God. I want to live for God. And they just try to do better, and they fail. And they try to do better, and they fail. Until you become born again, You can't
proceed. Amen.
You can't go further. God cannot give you his grace and mercy and love and teachings until you become a child of
Amen.
God. When you're born into the family of God, then God says, now I'm going to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you grow, and I'm going to help you learn and just go on with the things of God. And as Brother Tim mentioned, we never stop growing.
Never.
Ever. No matter how old we are or how long we're living, and I've preached many a times and said the same thing, as I've learned is when I was in my teenagers and 20s, I had different trials and things, nothing compared to what, I don't have those now that I had then. So as we get different ages, we have different things come upon us.
Absolutely.
And God has to give us the grace and teach us to help us to deal with this situation, whatever it is, as we get older and things. But I thank God for his patience with us.
Amen.
As he teaches us. And sometimes we just, you know, we know with our own children, we try to teach them, and they just don't get it. But we never say, get out of the house, you know. We teach them, and we work with them, and we work with them. And God is patience. I thank God for his goodness. Thank God for the message tonight. We're going to sing verse 3 and 4. If there's a need in the audience, we'll give you an opportunity to come to an altar of prayer.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus is the truth.
the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Amen. Trust that you know that you can trust Christ.
Amen.
Above all. Again, appreciate the message. Appreciate God blessing Brother Tim to bring the message to
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Tomorrow evening, Friday evening, service again, 7 o'clock. Be much in prayer for that. We'll have a little snack across the street afterwards. So invite you there. Anything we need to mention before we prepare to dismiss? Brother Herschel, you able to dismiss us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for giving us strength to be in every service so far.
Yes.